We worship from the heart. We worship with music. And now we worship as we go to God's living word. His truth is timely and it is timeless. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to engage in worship with me. Find a Bible and go to Luke chapter 10. We'll look at the first 16 verses. On the website, you can even download this outline. This outline will help you hear better. It focuses you. We're going to follow Jesus by joining the Savior in the harvest. That is the goal, joining the Savior in the harvest. And as you find your Bible, let me tell you one of my favorite fun stories. There was a man, and his name was Sam. And he was about 75 years old. One day, he was in Eastdale Mall, just cruising through the mall, having a grand old time. And hanging onto his arm was this beautiful young lady, maybe a third his age, probably 25. Sam's 75, she's 25. And who would they bump into but his heart doctor? His cardiologist comes rushing up to Sam and says, "Sam, what in the world do you think you are doing?" Sam was taken aback. He said, "Well, doc, I thought I was following your orders. I thought you said to get a hot mama and be cheerful." The cardiologist said, "No, Sam, I said you have a heart murmur and be careful." Now, Sam missed some very fundamental instructions, which could be detrimental to his health. That's why it's mighty important to listen carefully to the physician and your great physician, Jesus. We're going to hear the very instruction, the prescription of the great physician today, and I don't want you to mishear. I don't want you to get the orders wrong and backwards. So we're going to go straight to the source. In Luke chapter 10, here's what Jesus is going to say. Make your life count. Join me in the harvest. Follow me and become a fisher of men. Go and make disciples, and I'll go with you. You see, I want you to start here. Take regularly the tombstone test. Have you heard of the tombstone test? For instance, what will be written on your tombstone? I heard of one tombstone, and it had emblazoned across it, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Now, some people have an epitaph that is not positive. I hope my epitaph will be somewhat like Barnabas's in Acts chapter 11. It was said of Barnabas, "He was a Jesus man of joy and encouragement, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and he brought many to Jesus." That's what I want on my tombstone. What do you want on yours? Have you taken the tombstone test lately? Well, I would suggest that you want your life to count for Christ. We all want our lives to make a difference. And that's why the Lord Jesus invites us to join him. He gives us a special assignment to take up his assignment. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he gives us a parallel task. And so I call it the Great Commission, but I don't want you to call it your great omission. You see, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've taught you. And as you go, I will go with you." That is our grand calling. And for many, it's your grand falling because you're not doing it. It's the Great Commission, and yet for most, it's the great omission. You're not doing it, and consequently, one day, someday, friends, when we stand before King Jesus, and he quickly, with those fiery eyes, evaluates all that you are and all that you've done, oh, you don't want to hear his sigh and his sadness because you missed your opportunity. Instead, you want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's why it's important to step back and take the tombstone test. What is your life amounting to? Does it count Are you doing what really matters? You see, the Bible says in John 9:4, we better work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Now, with this coronavirus hovering over our globe, it accentuates our ability to think clearly and to evaluate honestly. So this is a very important question. Take that tombstone test, and then let's plunge into what God expects. Have you found your Bible? All right, let's go over to Luke chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 1. Now, this is God's assignment for the people of that day. It's God's assignment for you. Jesus said, Luke 10:1, now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. He was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Maybe just a little elbow bump. Verse 5, and whatever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those who are sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city will cling to your feet. We wipe it off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And basically, you missed it. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to hell. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. All right, now let's pray this in. Let's all pray together. Dear Father, this is your living word. It is timeless and it is timely. And I pray that you would remove me from this process so that your spirit could take your powerful transforming truth and deposit it into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you may or may not have this worksheet, but I want God's work, the work of his spirit, to occur in your life. So come to full attention, and let me show you three important truths. Number one, I want you to see the situation that surrounds the scripture. In Luke 9, Jesus had sent out the 12. It was like a practice run, a test drive of doing John 20, verse 21. Jesus said, in the end, as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. So Jesus is going to send them out to proclaim the message that the messianic age has dawned, not only on Israel, but on the world. The Messiah that has been promised through the ages has come. Now then, Jesus takes the next step, and he appoints the 70, from the 12 to the 70. That occurs in Luke 10, verse 1. So these 70 regular people, just like us, are recruited. Now, this ragtag army is going to go out, and they are going to share Christ with the world. Now, what's fascinating is Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to invite you to serve God's purpose as you join me in doing the great commission of the Lord. Now, friends, this is your assignment. This is my assignment. These words echo through the quarters of time, and they come to rest at my heart. They come to rest in your heart. Will you do it? Will you embrace the assignment of Jesus and share His love and light, His transforming truth with our broken and dying world? Now, let's go to number two, God's invitation. Move from the situation and what's happening here to God's invitation. What did God say? Jesus was always saying, come to me and then go for me. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But then in Matthew 28, he said, go for me. Go and make disciples. It's always come so that you can go. In Matthew 4:19, freeze frame this marvelous moment. Jesus is calling his first disciples. He is there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are there. And Jesus tells them to leave their fishing and follow him and fish for men. That's what Jesus calls all of us to do. Follow and fish. Oh, when you go fishing, what do? You catch a fish from life and then you take him to death because you eat him. But then when you fish for Christ, you take a person out of death because we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and you bring them to new life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. That is your purpose, to follow and to fish. So he invites you to do so. Now, let's break that invitation down to go into five features of going. Now, watch this. Number one, go immediately. Go immediately. We learn in Luke 9, verse 60, and if you have your worksheet, it's there, but if not, let me read it to you. But Jesus said to him, this man comes running up to Jesus and said, I want to be one of your disciples, but I've got to go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. In other words, there's an urgency about this. This is not, someday I'll get around to it. Someday I'll share my witness. Someday I'll grow my faith. No, this is now. The task is immediate. It is urgent. We are on a rescue operation. Remember Jesus said when he explained his purpose in Luke 19:10, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the clock is running, friends. Time will expire. It is imperative that we see the urgency of our mission. I was in college at Baylor University when God amplified this truth to me. I was teaching a Bible study in Pentland South. That's where I lived. Well, there was a young man in my Bible study that I met, and his name was Phil Horn. He was from Indiana. He was a cool guy, really sharp, bright young fella. But he did not know the Lord. He came to Baylor because his parents had gone to this Christian school, and they said, well, you need to go to Baylor, and he did. But he went reluctantly, resisting all the way. I remember talking with Phil late into the night and just feeling this urgency for his soul, and I ended up sharing Christ with him. Oh, it's so important to be able to do what God says. Always be ready to share the gospel. I was on soul patrol, and Phil Horn gave his life to Christ. I shared with him the essentials of the gospel. And do you know what happened? He not only prayed to receive Christ, but he began to instantly grow. 2 months after that transaction, spring break came. Phil went back home, but he didn't come back. We soon got the word that Phil had an unexpected cardiac event. And at age 19, he died. And on countless occasions, I thought, what if I had not shared with Phil? That magnified to me the urgency of our task, the immediacy of it. When God says, do it now. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Well, let's go from the going immediately to going prayerfully. Go prayerfully. It says in verse 2 that we should beseech the Lord of the harvest. That simply means we should pray. We should be people of prayer. You see, when you pray, you synchronize yourself with the Lord's will and with the Lord's way. When you pray, He opens your eyes to the spiritual opportunities that are all around you. Now, friends, you should not run rambunctiously into a field of ripe fruit. You may do some damage. So that's why we go on mission prayerfully. Here's a good poem. Last night, I took a journey to a land far across the seas. I did not go by boat or plane, but I traveled on my knees. I would urge you to be a person of prayer. You know, around here we say prayer is not part of our strategy. Prayer is our strategy. You see, this is the call of God to beseech the Lord of the harvest. Years ago, I had a friend here at First Baptist named Ruth Garvin. She has gone to be with the Lord many years ago, but she had a lot of illnesses and difficulties in life. But she told me, Jay, in my latter years, God made my assignment prayer. My body is weak, but my spirit is strong. Maybe that's you, friend. God is calling you to be like Ruth Garvin. Your assignment is to pray. So we go immediately, we go prayerfully, we go carefully or wisely. Look at verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. In other words, there's danger out there. This is a fallen world. We have an enemy who is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. So I want to put you on high alert. Listen to what Jesus said in the parallel passage in Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you go on mission with Him, it will not necessarily be a journey that is downhill and shady. It will probably be uphill and hard. I keep in my office a unique reminder. This is a velvet-covered brick. You can't hear its weight. And the reason I keep it in my office is because it reminds me of Matthew 10, 16, and this assignment to be innocent as a dove, but as shrewd as a serpent. You know, we live in turbulent times. And if you don't watch it, you can be innocent and soft and passive and fearful and panicking and get nothing done. You're all velvet. No, you need to be a velvet-covered brick. Innocent as a dove, shrewd as a serpent. That means you go prayerfully, but you go carefully. You go wisely. You exercise appropriate precautions, but you keep moving forward in the Lord. It's a call, really, to wisdom. Let me tell you something that happened as fresh as yesterday. We got a call on our home phone and on our cell phones, Meredith and I did, and it was a notice that shocked us. Matter of fact, it started with a text, and the text said, your power bill has not been paid, and your power will be cut off in 30 minutes. Okay, so I said to Mary Ruth, have you not paid our power bill? What's going on here? And so she says, well, let me check the records. I think I have. And sure enough, she went back and checked the records. I said, this is a scam. This is a silly scam. So she said, all right, let's call. We call the 800 number. Alabama Power. Evidently, they had recorded the right message. And then I hit the button on the recording, got this 800 number, and it was this heavy accent, and it had to be India. I hate to identify it. But it was a call room of India and said, hello, this is Alabama Power. I said, you are running a scam. Why are you cheating people in these hard times? They immediately hung up. Total scam. Called Alabama Power, reported it. They said they do it on Saturday mornings, especially when older senior adults are vulnerable and they can't get a hold of the people to pay their bills. and they get your credit card number and they cheat you. Friends, in this world of scam artists and enemies, be as innocent as a dove, but shrewd as a serpent. Learn to identify the $3 bills that are around you, but don't let them throw you off. Press on. Be wise. Don't be thrown off. In this day of the coronavirus, listen to God's call for wisdom. I heard the most fascinating story. It happened in 1918. That's when America was facing the Spanish flu, and we didn't have all these diagnostics. It was a tough time. And there's a tale of two cities. In the city of Philadelphia in 1918, and this was World War I going on, there was a huge parade to sell war bonds. And the city officials were told not to have large gatherings, but they decided to override the health warnings, and they gathered over 100,000 people. And within 48 hours, the Spanish flu began to spread like a tidal wave. And in 2 weeks, 16,000 people were dead. Contrast that with what happened in St. Louis. St. Louis also was scheduled to have a parade for war bonds. They canceled it. They created social distancing. They were wise. And in that same time frame, in a similar population, only 2,000 died. Now, we grieve those 2,000, but 2,000 is a lot better than 16,000 because they exercised wisdom. They were shrewd. Operate with Christ-inspired shrewdness. Number four, faithfully. They go faithfully. They travel in trust. You see, God's going to take care of you. Remember Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus said, travel light. Some people, when they get ready to go on an overnight trip, it takes a forklift to load their bags. They travel heavy. There's a better way. Trust Jesus, travel light. Don't stall over the small. Press forward, friends. And then watch this. He says in verse 6, here's the key, look for a person of peace. I love that verse, look for a person of peace. Be on soul patrol. Now, I go around looking for people who are looking for Jesus. I'm looking for that person who just has almost that divine aura around them. They're open, they're receptive to the gospel. There are a lot of people who reject. You don't waste your time banging your head against a brick wall, but you find that person who's open. Let me tell you an amazing story, one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me. I was with Tim Kearley in Mozambique, and we were putting in a water well with my friend Bill Lambert. These people were drinking their sewage, and it was just killing them and hurting their young people. So we put in a deeper well that was 60 feet so the people could have purified water, but then we were giving them the living water. So we were walking around in the area called the Ravu River in Mozambique outside of Chimoio. There were four of us, and we were on a mission team, and we were walking around just looking for people of peace. We didn't even know where to go, except the place was beautiful and there were villages around. And suddenly we heard music. About shoulder high, there was all of this brush and bush. And this man emerged, and he was carrying a large radio on his shoulder, just kind of like grooving along through the bush. And so we met him. His name was Philip Mwanza. I'll never forget him. He could speak a little broken English. Our translator was a guy named Gurley Taylor. And we talked with him, said we were Jesus people out here looking to share. He said he would like to hear our story. We asked him to gather his village the next day, and we would meet him at 10 a.m. on the banks of the Ravu River. We kept that appointment, and 80 people showed up because of this man of peace. We shared the gospel. I shared how Jesus had changed my life, how he is the universal Jesus. He is working for anybody, anywhere, anytime. And 20 of those people who were pagan, animistic worshipers came and knelt in the dust and gave their life to Jesus because we found a man of peace. Friends, they're everywhere. Look for people who are looking for Jesus, and you will find them. Lastly, go vocally. Go vocally. Jesus said, go and proclaim the Gospels in verse 9 through 14. Tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. The scripture says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, for everyone, here's the message. Jesus loves you. Step out of your darkness into his life and light. I like what D.L. Moody said. Every Christian is like the captain of a rescue boat operating among the drowning. Our simple job is to help drowning people get into the lifeboat provided by Jesus and be saved. Now, that happens when we share the Lord. So go vocally, go unashamedly. The coronavirus is our perfect opportunity. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's thinking about their humanity, their vulnerability, their mortality. We'll simply ask somebody, if something happened to you, do you think you would go to heaven? And then explain to them in simple terms what God has done for you, and then talk to them about how they must admit they are sinners, because we've all sinned, believe in Jesus, trust him alone, and call upon him as Savior. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is so phenomenally, beautifully simple. Share it with everyone you encounter. What if the Lord uses the coronavirus to bring a great awakening? That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm envisioning. That corona that's crawled and slithered out of the pit of hell will be used as God's opportunity to bring heaven to countless millions. Well, lastly, make your declaration. Declare your intention. In verse 16, Jesus said there will be some who receive and others who reject. That's how it always is. Which will you do? Will you receive God's invitation to be on mission with him? Will you reject him? On a more personal level, perhaps you're listening to this message and you don't know Jesus. More than you need the next beat of your heart or breath of air for your lungs, you need Jesus, friends. And to receive him, it's this simple. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sin and make you my Savior. I want to call upon you right now, and I ask that your Spirit would come into my spirit and make me your child. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you. If I could pray that prayer for you, I would, but I can't. So pray it right now. Simply say with a humble heart of repentance, Lord Jesus, I choose you. I receive you. Do that right now, friend. I urge you to be part of the body of Christ. You can text our church. You text my cell number, 334-546-8786. Let me be a partner for you to pray with you, counsel with you. And then do something that's so important. Every person do this in these uncertain days. Declare that you will be surrendered to the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ, our sure Savior. Well, right now, Ed's going to sing, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence still. Savior.
Father, we agree. We want to surrender before you. And Lord, would you help us use the coronavirus crisis for Christ? Help us to be on soul patrol and find people who are hurting and afraid. And let us share ultimate hope, help with them. May we share with everyone we encounter your love and light. Father, we promise to walk with you in faith, not fear. We love you and pray these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining this live stream. And here's your assignment. Use Corona for Christ. I love you and God bless you.